Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. Throughout the history of the U.S., there have been widespread epidemics. Polio, smallpox, and most recently, COVID-19. But almost exactly 40 years ago, a previously unknown disease started showing up, mostly in the gay community, that both baffled and terrified doctors and citizens around the nation. This disease was spreading rapidly and was taking lives almost as quickly. The disease is what we now know as HIV/AIDS, and it held the country tight in its frightening grip. Fast forward 40 years, and the advances against the disease are nothing less than miraculous. People can not only survive HIV, but they can live with it for many years. In some people, it's virtually undetectable, and the paralyzing fear of this disease has long since subsided. However, there's still work to do. This morning, I'm joined by Harold Phillips, the director of the White House Office of National AIDS Policy, and Jasmine McKenzie, who's been living with HIV for 15 years, to talk about the state of HIV in the U.S. today and where we go from here. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Phillips, I'm going to start with you. Can you tell our listeners what HIV is and how it affects the body?
Sure. HIV is a virus, you know, now since we are all very familiar with viruses, especially due to COVID and what we've been through in the last 2 years. But HIV is a virus that attacks the immune system, makes one susceptible to other sort of opportunistic infections. If not treated, over time, it does lead to death because of the other opportunistic infections that attack the body due to the HIV virus, which weakens that immune system. But right now, we've got medication that can prevent someone from acquiring an opportunistic infection and help someone who has HIV live a long life. What we call a normal lifespan to your 80s and 90s. But it's important that you get into medical care and that you take what we call antiretroviral therapy, or ART. And by taking those HIV medications, like I said, you can live a long, healthy life.
Now, when the first case of HIV was detected in 1981, U.S. doctors had never seen anything like it, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. Actually, June 5th of this year marked the 41st anniversary of the CDC's report on HIV. And, you know, much like we experienced here with COVID, it took a lot of both scientific research to figure out what we were dealing with, and it took a number of years both before we were able to test for it and then to treat for it. You know, there were a lot of similarities between what we just experienced with COVID in the early days of the HIV epidemic, which also fueled some misinformation as well as stigma and fear and discrimination, also similar to like what we've been through during COVID. But now we're at a different point when it comes to the HIV epidemic.
Yes, when people, you know, through the 80s, maybe even into the 90s, if people were diagnosed with HIV, it was perceived as a death sentence, but that's not where we stand today, is it?
No, that is not where we stand today. And you're absolutely right. It was a death sentence early on because we didn't have effective medications like we do now. Antiretroviral medications are life-saving and life-extending for people living with HIV. But it's really important that individuals get into medical care and treatment and take antiretroviral therapy, or ART, as our new campaign that was launched by HHS talks about and really encourages those who might not be in medical care or who have fallen out of medical care to get back into medical care, because there are programs that can help with low and no cost availability of these antiretroviral medications.
Yes, I'm speaking with Harold Phillips, the director of the White House Office of National AIDS Policy, and that is the I Am a Work of Art campaign that you're talking about that was launched recently. Excuse me. Who are you hoping to reach with this campaign?
Yes, the campaign encourages people with HIV who are not in care or who have fallen out of medical care to seek care and stay in care and achieve what we call viral suppression through taking antiviral medications known as ART. Our campaign has a diverse group of people living with HIV who share their experiences of getting into medical care, starting ART, and achieving and maintaining viral suppression, which helps them to live healthy lives. And we're encouraging everyone to find a provider near you by visiting HIV.gov, that's our website, to find out more about both the campaign and also where you can get into medical care.
We have another guest joining us this morning that has been patiently waiting in the wings. Thank you, Jasmine McKenzie. Jasmine, at one time you were one of the people that they were hoping to reach with this type of campaign. Would you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yes, my journey was somewhat of amazing, and I'm going to say amazing because I was able to not only be a part of the campaign, but I also helped find the people who everyone will see be showcased in the campaign, where I was actually able to get them to be showcased as the models for the I Am Work of Art campaign. And right now, because I'm very popular in my state, I feel that because I'm a part of this campaign, so many other black trans bodies will be more empowered to want to get into care, because what people don't know is we have so many people in our community. When I say our community, I'm going to say our community as in my community, which is a black trans community, who is affected by HIV and who have not been in care due to being in denial. So hopefully, by them seeing the campaign, coming out to the launch party, and they see someone that look like them now, it'll empower them to get into care.
Is that where you were before? Were you in denial, and is that why it took you a while to get yourself into care?
Yes, I was diagnosed at the age of 14 years old. It took me about 5 years to get into care, and the reason why I got into care because I had a situation where I went to do some blood work. I passed out. They told me how low my CD4 was. And you can say I was basically almost, you know, dying, like dead. And, you know, it took for that to happen for me to open up my eyes and say, you know what, this is really serious. I'm really diagnosed with HIV. I have to do something about it. And ever since then, I have been into care. I have been using my voice to empower people in my community. I have been just, you know, doing what I can to help other people stay afloat with what's going on around the knowledge and education for ART.
And what does it mean to you to represent this campaign, and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
It means that it means a lot. And I'm going to say it means a lot because it took me a while to come out openly about my HIV status. For so many years, not only was I in denial, but I think a part of me being in denial was because I was so scared of the stigma that comes with the territory of knowing that I'm someone who was first one black, second trans, third living with HIV. So it took a very long time for me to come out to my community, come out to my family, my friends about my HIV status. So for me, that was a very big accomplishment. And I used this campaign as a way to get that message out, because now I have been sending the campaign out to so many people, and they're like, well, what is this campaign? What is it about? I don't understand what's going on. And I'm like, read it. Read about it. Educate yourself. And then it's like, you know, they're finding out now that, oh, this is a campaign that Jasmine in, and Jasmine is someone who is living with HIV, and I didn't know all the years. So hopefully I'm expecting to get more people in my community to get involved with understanding and getting the proper knowledge around HIV, around HIV and AIDS, because people think instantly when you say, oh, I'm someone who's living with HIV, they instantly think that you're just someone who's living with AIDS. And people don't understand that there's a difference between those two. So that's one barrier I'm hoping to get done and across. And the second barrier is to have less stigma, because oftentimes people feel that when they know someone is living with, they tend to branch off into another, almost I would say like another time zone. And that's because people are not educated. And I feel the more we throw this information in their faces, it gets more education, more stigma to be decreased.
Absolutely. For both of you, what are some reasons that people diagnosed with HIV don't seek proper care? You're both welcome to answer this question. And, of course, denial is one reason. What else?
Sometimes people don't know that there's low and no-cost care available, you know, either through our community health centers, or each state has an AIDS drug assistance program, and many other pharmaceutical companies also provide medication discounts. So sometimes people are a little bit afraid of the cost, even if they know their status and, they don't know about a lot of these federal and state and local programs. And so I think one thing the campaign can do is make people aware of where care is available. And again, HIV.gov is a perfect website. Go in, put in your zip code, and it can tell you both where to get tested or where the nearest center for getting access to some of these medications is in your community.
I will say stigma and the use of weaponizing people's HIV status, because that is something that's very big in Miami, where people tend to get upset, they tend to get mad, and they want to weaponize your HIV status. So I think that's another reason why we have people who are, not looking or not seeking to get into care.
Mr. Phillips, what is the plan ending the HIV epidemic in the U.S., and how is this obtainable?
The plan to end the HIV epidemic in the United States is a federal initiative. President Biden, in his budget, has requested over $800 million, targeting those areas of our country where we have the highest HIV transmission. You know, today, between both HIV testing, the HIV medications, the ART that we talked about, as well as HIV prevention medications. So there's medications that those who are at risk can take and prevent getting HIV. And also those who are living with HIV and on antiretroviral therapy and virally suppressed, they cannot pass HIV on to their sexual partners. The medication sort of blocks all of that. So we have all the tools to end the HIV epidemic, but there's a lack of awareness, like we talked about. There's the denial, and there's also a lack of understanding that there are programs that can help with the cost of medication that really can help us end the HIV epidemic. So President Biden's plan is for us to scale up the availability of these programs and the resources, and his $800 million request will help us target areas of the country where this is needed most. Not only the areas, but also the populations that are impacted. A lot of the African American community is still heavily impacted by HIV. As Jasmine talked about, our transgender communities as well. So that is the initiative. And on World AIDS Day, President Biden released National HIV AIDS Strategy, which also I think is going to help us move forward toward ending the HIV epidemic by the year 2030 here in the United States. Currently, we've got about 21 countries across the world that are got their HIV epidemic under control, and it's time we did it here in the United States. So we got to get over some of these structural and system inequalities that have been created, and this new plan, as well as the increased investment, is going to help us get there.
Do each of you have any final words that you'd like to share with our listeners about the I Am a Work of Art campaign or ending HIV in general?
Stephen, you want to go first?
Yes. I would like to say to anyone who's listening, if you go to HIV.gov and you see the campaign or if you see it on social media, be sure to share whatever you can come across. Please share it to all your social media platforms. Share it to your family. Share it to your friends. Share it to the people that look like the people in those images. Because I feel like one of the biggest things that we can do to help decrease and help end HIV epidemic is to educate our community, and not just the LGBTQ plus community, but also the cisgender community, because for some reason, when it comes to the cis community, they feel like HIV doesn't affect their community. So it will be great to make sure you all share all information, all pictures, videos, whatever it is that you will see with the I Am a Work of Art. It's very bold, very vibrant, very colorful. So it's not something that you can't miss it. So if you share it, someone will see it because of the bright, bold colors.
Yeah, and I think what I would add to that is I'm really excited that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has worked with creative partners to create and tell their own story about living with HIV and getting into medical care and taking their medications and what that has meant to them in their ability to live a long, healthy life and prevent transmitting the virus to others. And as a result, you know, I really want to encourage people to visit HIV.gov/ART, where you can find additional information about the campaign and also about getting into medical care yourself and helping us end the HIV epidemic in the United States. So thank you.
The goal of ending the HIV epidemic in the U.S. by 2030 once sounded impossible, but today there's a real chance that it could happen. If you or someone you know is living with HIV, please get care and stay in care so that you can achieve viral suppression. For more information on this campaign, resources, and assistance, please visit HIV.gov. My thanks to Harold Phillips, the director of the White House Office of National AIDS Policy, and Jasmine McKenzie, one of the beautiful faces of the I Am a Work of Art campaign. If you'd like to share this or any of our past interviews, you can find them on our website, 987simon.com, under the podcast tab, 987 Simon On Demand. And if you'd like to have a cause, event, or organization featured on Triad Today, please send an email to charlie@987simon.com. That's charlie@987simon.com. This is Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program every Sunday morning at 6:30 on 987 Simon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.